To all the ladies in the place with under some pressure, hit and step by Gilbert Brown. Who rock grooves and make moves with all the mommies. The back.
The old Gravedigger.
The back of the club, Mackin' Hall, my crew's behind me.
I mean, this guy was 345 pounds, and when you have a nickname like the Gravedigger, you're God.
And now, presented by Stadium View Bar, Grill, and Banquet Hall in beautiful Green Bay, Wisconsin, the Packer Report podcast with Gilbert Brown. Here's your host, publisher of the Packer Report, Ross Uglum.
Hello, Packers fans, and welcome back to the Packer Report podcast, brought to you by Stadium View in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Joining me, as always, is my co-host, Gilbert Brown. Gilbert, how are we doing, baby?
There he is. What's up, baby?
I'm excited to kind of get into more of a preview, you know, where we break down the upcoming game. Very little news this week. Ibrahim Campbell was brought up off the PUP. He's a guy that tackled really well in a couple of spots last season, kind of plays that dime linebacker, that sub linebacker spot that Raven Green played before he went down for the season. To make room for him, they released Tim Williams. Tim was kind of a top 100 pick. He was a high pick by the Ravens that they had given up on. A lot of folks know that Milt Hendrickson is kind of Gutekunst's right-hand man from Baltimore, and they released Tim Williams, but were able to get him back on the practice squad. And as kind of a raw pass rush guy, somebody that had ability, showed flashes at Alabama, I'm glad to see Williams still around, because I'm usually not ready to give up on pass rushers. I like pass rushers.
Don't we all? Don't we all? They the heart and soul of the defense, you know, and when you can get a good pass rusher, man, it's a dime a dozen. Cause you go back when I was playing, good exceptionally well pass rushers for us was like Kabir Bajabia Miller, but when you look at him, he was basically like a third down guy, because running the ball, Mr. Kabir had some trouble.
Well, yeah, I mean, the guy looked like he was 225 pounds. I can understand why Mr. Kabir had some trouble. Speaking, though, of when you were playing, I started to get a couple flashbacks. Now, granted, I was 8 years old, 9 years old, but
now you're trying to make me feel old. Come on, man.
I think a lot of Packer fans are like this. When they really think about the Panthers at home, it's hard not to remember that. Well, technically, it was in 1997, but the 97 season or the 96 season, right, the NFC Championship game against Carolina that you obviously played in. Let's rewind a little bit and go back to that divisional game, because there are a lot of really famous pictures from that divisional game, because it was absolutely you guys played in a slop field. It was absolutely unbelievable. There's that picture of Bryant Young from the Niners with his face just caked in mud. Tell me a little bit about that game.
Oh, man. You know what, man? It's so many games that stick out. And if you're talking about playing against the Niners, but also playing against Carolina for the NFC Championship game, the Mud Bowl, as they call it, was awesome. It was just awesome. I mean, I believe one time we was out there, and Jerry Rice, you know the
I've heard of him.
Receiver Jerry Rice, you know. He went into the locker room. And so at halftime, when everybody, after halftime, everybody came out, he came out in a freshly clean uniform. So as a defense, we like, is he for real? Is he for real? So the first inside route he did, everybody tried to grab him and slam him in the mud again. That was priceless. I mean, everybody was like, oh, we got to get him. We got to get him. So, a game like that. But then being able to play football and it was like 22 little kids out there in the playground playing in the mud, man. That game was so awesome. We had an awesome time, and we beat them too.
Were you sitting on the bench, or did you happen to be up on the sideline when Desmond took it back to the house?
Yeah, because my special team skills ain't up to par to be out there running around hitting folks. But to see Desmond Howard, a guy that is just labeled as a one-dimensional guy, just a special teams guy, but he prided himself on learning the plays and learning the routes and doing the things that he had to do. But to see him go out there and just take over the game as a special teams player was awesome. To see him do the things he did, but the guys out there, the other 10 guys that was out there blocking for him, blocked him to the end zone. Everybody was one as a special team. That's why I'm always preaching about there's always three phases of the game: offense, defense, and special teams.
So you win that game, and it means that you are going to host the Panthers.
Hey.
Did you feel like it was disappointing at all that you guys didn't get another shot at the Cowboys, because they had won the Super Bowl and they were driving you guys absolutely nuts, and it looked like another collision course?
You know what? We was hosting. Now, would we have hosted the game?
Yeah, both of the 96 playoff games were at Lambeau Field. That one against Carolina, you might remember, because it was 8 degrees outside. It was freezing cold.
Yeah, yeah. But what I'm saying is, if Dallas would have won, would they have came to us?
I would guess so, because you were a 3-loss team. You went 13-3. I can't imagine that Dallas. In fact, so, you know what?
I don't care what we did. We always had to go up to Dallas, no matter what. What we did, we always had to go up to Dallas. But if they'd have brought their ass down to Green Bay, they'd have got cut too.
So 8 degrees. Dorsey Levens had a phenomenal game, but you guys held Carolina to 13 total points, and you, my man, had a forced fumble. You knocked the ball out of Anthony Johnson's hand. And our boy Leroy made the recovery. You remember that play?
Oh, yeah. The butler did it. But the grave digger had an assist, which was cool. Dorsey Levens had an exceptional game, though. Dorsey was, you know, we all got nicknames in the locker room. Some you can say in public, some you can't. You know, mine was the grave digger. Dorsey is the horse. And we call him the horse because it didn't matter what terrain he was on, them legs was always chopping. I mean, and to see him have that exceptional game, because if you look back, him and Edgar Bennett were fighting awesome for that starting role. You know what I'm saying? So each guy pushed each other to the point of we got two of the best tandem backfields in our division. So to have that type of a game, and the funny part about that game was, you know, we always go out and warm up before the game and stuff. So all the Carolina Panthers was out there with either no shirt on or a little T-shirt on, and they was trying to psych themselves up. But that first TV timeout, and you look over at them, they looked like somebody frozen in a bottle. Because that's how cold it was out there, man. And we saw that, and we just put it to him. We put it to him.
What was that like after the game? Because it's honestly, it's the only time in the last basically 40 years, because that 2010 mm-hmm. team won the NFC Championship in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
One time in the last 40 years, mm-hmm. Packers fans have been able to celebrate with their team after qualifying for the Super Bowl. I mean, what was that like? Obviously, it was cold. Most of the Packers fans were probably in their hunting gear. But what was it like to know you were going to the Super Bowl and be able to celebrate in the bowl?
Man, you know, first of all, it's Lambeau Field, first of all. And when we were playing, Lambeau Field was sacred to us. You know, like we never lost to Detroit at home, never. You know, it was certain things. We had a nice little win streak at home. And to be able to, for so many years, to bring that back to Green Bay and to see that NFC Championship trophy, to see the guys hoisting it around and being able to run around the stadium and knowing that we were going to the Super Bowl, it was something that a lot of people cannot comprehend because, oh, it's a game. You guys, you know, why y'all? It's just something that Green Bay has a tradition. I always tell people this. Green Bay has a hallway that we used to go down and walk through when I was playing, walk through to go to work every day. And in this hallway, we got like all the championship banners on the roof, you know, kind of like on the roof of the hallway. And on the sides of the walls is all the greats, you know, Ray Nitschke, Bart Starr, all that stuff. For the 10 or 11 years, I walked down that hallway every day to go to work. The hair on the back of my neck stands up every day I went to work. Now, that type of tradition, you cannot fabricate. It is something that is bred into a Green Bay Packer. The G on the side of the head, we always claim it means for greatness. So to bring that home in Lambeau Field, and we all as a defense working hard because we know how hard Reggie White worked to get to that point in those days in Philly. And me being a young guy back in 96, I was like a kid in a candy store taking it all in, man. It was just something ugly that, I mean, you really can't describe unless you're there.
That's awesome. We're going to save some of your Super Bowl memories probably for another pod because we're playing the long game here. We want to keep this thing going. We can't give it all away in the second show.
No, you know? We can't.
Can't do that. We got to take a little time to pay the bills here. And you've got a big deal coming up this weekend. You're recording this right now from the beautiful state of Wisconsin because you are going to be right there with our title sponsor, Stadium View, on Sunday, and our guy with Mayfield Sports Marketing.
Yeah, Stadium View, like I said, Stadium View is an awesome experience if you're going to get ready for the game. And even if you're going to the game or you ain't going to the game, there's atmosphere there. And being able to be a part of that with the Gilbert Brown tailgate party over there is pretty cool. But then again, to be able to be with Mark Mayfield of Mayfield Sports, great organization. He got a stable of guys, of veteran guys, these young guys. And Mayfield Sports is a place where if you need speaking engagements, if you want to do autographs, if you got a charity or something that you need to do and you need to get one of these guys over there, call Mayfield Sports Marketing because Mark Mayfield and those guys over there are really doing the job. And as far as Stadium View, food, drink, atmosphere, football, and the raggedy Carolina Panthers coming to town. So we're going to be ready.
Yeah, and what an awesome renovation, too, over at Stadium View. I was talking to Bob when we were, you know, discussing becoming, you know, them supporting the show, and I sent him a picture of myself and my best friend the day that the Packers brought the title back to Green Bay in 2000. Well, obviously, then it was 2011, but the 2010 season. And just looking at the old Stadium View and how many good times were had in there, it's almost unrecognizable now after that renovation. It's such a awesome spot to be in. You, like you mentioned, the food is fantastic. Beer selection off the charts. We really enjoyed basically all of our time with Stadium View. That is for sure. Gilbert, how's your Team Godzilla versus Team Kong thing going?
Hey man, I'm getting a lot of people jumping on that team Godzilla. You know, I was talking to a few people the other day, and they was trying to figure out how in the world does King Kong have a chance? And you know, everybody talking about this underdog thing that they might let him win because he'll be the underdog. I'm like, man, we ain't got time for that. That's just like when we went up to in Super Bowl 32. And we went up and played Denver, and Elway hasn't got a championship yet. And they was like, oh, y'all just let him win because he hasn't got. No, 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 no. We're going to put it to him. So I hope for your sake and your team Kong people that it'll be a nice butt whooping and Godzilla roll on out and take over Skull Island and call it Monster Island. Just take his crib away from him. What you think?
Well, I mean, that's kind of where I'm at, you know, is that underdog thing. I think that's the if you're going to have a little bit of sex appeal there, that's where it is. It's with the underdog. And Kong, I mean, you're right. There's no way unless there's a massive size difference that, you know, my guy Kong is not the dog in the fight. I mean, we're laying heavy odds, but if we come up with the victory, you know, you cash that bet in,
if you come up, I'm gonna be sick. I don't even think I can. I might not even show my face because I'm banking everything on the big fella. I really am. I mean, Kong ain't got no time to be walking around with the little blonde lady in his hand. He ain't got no time for that. He gonna get his house taken away from him. Everybody, see, when you look at all the stuff on YouTube, all the kaiju, as they call them, is migrating to Skull Island for some reason. You see what I'm saying? And
I do. When are we getting a trailer? Why do I not have a trailer?
Oh, no. You know what? I'm so mad about that, man, because we got March. What's that? 4 months? 5 months away? And...
Yeah,
and,
five and more. I mean, yeah.
And we don't have a trailer yet, man. What is the deal? I'm losing my mind right now. I check YouTube every day to see if something dropped yet. It's killing me.
When we see each other, I'll teach you how to set a Google alert for the trailer.
For real, because I keep telling you, yeah. Man, I live in the Stone Age around here. I really do.
You had some shout outs you wanted to take care of.
Yeah, I got a few shout outs, but also I want everybody to know that Monday I'm going to be on Clubhouse Live. See, all the boys, I think it's our bye week next week, right?
Yeah, and that's something we'll talk about in a little bit here, just how important it is to go into the bye with a good mood.
So they're going to let me co-host the Clubhouse Live, and so hopefully, you know, we have a nice crowd, and hopefully I get to promote our podcast on there and do a lot of different things on there. And also, I do have my foundation, okay? And
talk about the foundation. That's an important thing.
Yeah, my foundation does over 156 different children's charities. And everything we do stays in Wisconsin. That's something that's very near and dear to my heart because I always say these little kids, even some of them might get on your nerves or whatever, but they are future. And I really pride myself on being able to connect with them. You know, I do a all-pro football camp in the inner city of Milwaukee, which I've been doing now for like 14 years. It's totally free for the kids. I'm there 24/7. We feed them breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It's a great way to be able to give these kids a chance because some of these kids ain't got that type of money to go to these $200, $300, $400 football camps, man. So I bring it to them, put it in the inner city so all the kids can come, black, white, Chinese, whatever, as long as you can play the game. We even got girls out there. We got kids in wheelchairs out there because they just want to be a part of it. And I've been keeping it going for 14 years, so hopefully I can keep it going a little while longer and enjoying it. The main part of it is I get those kids that came back from year one, year two, year three, and be able to talk to these kids and tell them, say, hey, I was just like you sitting there on that knee looking up at a guy talking. But I went through this camp and I want these kids to see how successful. Don't mean you have to be a pro football player. You know, we got kids that's in the military. We got kids that's doctors, lawyers, different things like that. So there is an opportunity. All these kids got to do is grab it.
That's awesome, man. I definitely appreciate that. Anything we can do for the kids. Is there any way to kind of help out with the foundation? I mean, is there a way that if that kind of grabs a listener and somebody wants to contribute or make life easier on you know, your efforts towards the kids, how do they do that?
Well, they can go on my website. It's GilbertBrownFoundation.org. Go on there, check it out, see all the things I do. The good thing about my foundation, man, just like how we're doing at Stadium View, is all I got to do is pick up the phone. And that's the great thing about my team, the guys I play with. They love to come help. They love to come help because it's like being in the locker room again. It's like that camaraderie again. And I got guys coming all the way from Texas, Atlanta, California. These guys just want to come back. They miss Green Bay, but they also miss being around the guys. So that's a great thing about my foundation, great thing about my tailgate party. You're going to always see me with my teammates out there having fun. And I believe this tailgate, it's going to be me, Santana, and Amon Green.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Certainly something to look forward to. And something else we're looking forward to is, hey, we've got a game this weekend. And you're right. You know, it's going to be the last one for 2 weeks going into that bye week. And the only thing anybody can talk to is how to stop number 22. Christian McCaffrey is having a historic level season as far as guys on pace to rush, I think, for over 1,700 yards, but also on pace to catch over 80 balls. And you played with a really good, you know, receiving running back in Dorsey Levens, but this guy is really, really unbelievable. What do you do, especially when you have defense like Green Bay's that has kind of struggled to stop the run? What do they need to do on early downs to make sure that Carolina isn't in second and two and second and one all day?
Well, that's the thing about Christian McCaffrey. I was looking him up. He's got over 1,200 yards. He's got 13 touchdowns. That's a guy that you got to pay attention to. He's not a big back, so he can get behind those big offensive linemen and get small. You know, you got to really look for him. Got great speed. Got great vision. It's going to be a tough task, man. But when you look at this Carolina offense, to me, without having Cam out there, they're going to be one-dimensional. I mean, this quarterback, Kyle Allen is his name, I believe.
Yep.
He is a guy that's got the key in the ignition. But as far as driving that offense, it's Christian McCaffrey. And I think if the Packers defense can shut him down, slow him down, take him out of his game, we got this win. But if we don't do that, they're going to hang around and might make some damage.
Yeah, and I think the key is a friend of mine, Ben Fennell, who does some of the film stuff for The Athletic, pointed out the difference in yards per carry for the Chargers last week when they had B.J. Goodson out there, our boy in 93. I mean, he's actually – and you know what I noticed? He actually did a little bit of a grave digger on a tackle for a loss before before Zadarius did it as a sack celebration. Right. Did you notice that?
No, I did. I heard a little rumblings and stuff. So shouts out to him. I appreciate it.
Yeah. B.J., it was like a one – it was like a 1 yard loss, and he got up and just did a little baby grave digger, just a little one. Mm-hmm. But I think he understands the importance of wearing 93. So there was a big difference in the yards per carry when they had just Martinez out there.
Yeah.
Or when they had the two linebackers, you know. And so that, I think, is going to be a big key, because that's how they came out against the Vikings in week two. And Dalvin Cook was three down linemen with the outside backers and the two inside backers. Right. So I think that's going to be big.
That's the thing. That's the thing, that I don't like. I really don't. I mean, a lot of people say about this, and going back towards the Dom Capers and all that stuff, but I really don't like our scheme, because Kenny Clark in there, he got a lot of stuff coming at him. And all they need to do is get up to them linebacker, that linebacker who walled them off, and they're off to the races. I think with the two linebacker set, and at least put two D linemen in the middle. You know what I'm saying? We might have a chance, because this game is all about angles. And when you got that one linebacker in there, then we lose. I don't care if he was Ray Lewis out there.
Yeah, as soon as they climb up to the second level, it's bad news.
Yeah, it's over, man. It's not. It's I have trouble with that scheme.
You talked about the dimension with Allen. How important is that dimension that they don't have when Allen is in there, as opposed to Cam Newton? Because I really think that does put pressure on a defense.
Absolutely. I mean, Cam Newton is a guy that is an exceptional athlete. Just the bigness of that quarterback. You see what I'm saying? And then he brings a flair of run and pass as a quarterback. I mean, like when we were playing, we playing Michael Vick this week. Oh, Lord Jesus. You know, we playing Culpepper when we was in Minnesota. I mean, it was just, it's a whole different dynamic. So Kyle Allen, not taking nothing away from him, but he's no Cam Newton. No Cam Newton. So that's why I'm saying the offense is kind of one-dimensional. If we take out Christian, we good.
And that's one thing, too, that you won't see with Carolina, is that really elite outside threat. Last week, Keenan Allen beat up the Packers. Mike Williams beat up the Packers. Mm-hmm. And Hunter Henry, who is a really good tight end, beat up the Packers.
Mm-hmm.
The Ibrahim Campbell thing is big, coming back, guarding tight ends, because Greg Olsen's a good player. He's getting a little bit old, but Greg Olsen's a good player.
Mm-hmm. He is. Yeah, he is. He's a pretty good player. And people forget about the importance of the tight end in an offense. Tight end in an offense is great when you're going down the seam or outside pass or dump off or something like that. So tight ends are very, very important. And if you lock him up, like I said, they're going to get even more one-dimensional. But, I got to talk. That defense ain't slouchy either now.
It's interesting you say that, because so DVOA is adjusted over average, basically takes your yardage given up, and then it throws strength of schedule into the equation. It's not just your raw numbers. It's also who you've played against. So – they have the number three pass defense in the league. That doesn't sound like a fun defense for Aaron Rodgers to face. But get this. Number 32 in run defense. Gilbert, how many teams are there?
32.
Oh, okay. So they are facing the worst run defense in the league with strength of schedule adjustments. So, I mean, do they have any choice but to get Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams involved?
Yes, but here's the thing now. That surprises me, because that linebacker they got, what's his name, Luke?
Kuechly. Kuechly,
He's a pretty damn good linebacker. But also, if I looked it up right, they got 34 sacks and 19 takeaways.
And I think that's part of that number.
They ain't that bad.
No, and that's part of that number three pass defense ranking. I mean, they've got the number three pass defense in all of football, and they're just terrible against the run. So, you know, and this is what the important thing is, right? To the whole game is game script, and being up 10, being up 7, being up 13, because the last thing you want in the world is to get down two touchdowns to the Panthers. Then what are they doing? They're running the ball with Christian McCaffrey. They're probably succeeding. And you're throwing the ball against the teeth of that defense. It's way more of a positive idea to be up 10, up 13. You're running the ball against their bad run defense. Their pass rushers, they're Brian Burns, Gerald McCoy. They're not smashing Aaron Rodgers in the face.
Right.
And they're trying to chuck the ball down the field, which, you know what, Christian McCaffrey's pretty good at that too, but at least he's not jamming it down your throat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right about that. I do say, looking at this now, the offensive line for us, they got a chip on their shoulder this week. And I'm telling you, if the offensive line comes to play, offense and defensive line comes to play, because I always say it starts up front. If them two units come to play, we're going to win this game. If there's a letdown somewhere or this Christian guy gets loose, then we're going to be in trouble. But I'm banking on our O-line and our defensive line coming to play and putting these boys to bed.
Yeah, I think that's a really good take. I mean, I really do think this is going to be defined by the line play. If the defensive line, Kenny Clark, those guys can hold up, keep those linebackers clean, keep McCaffrey to 1, 3, 4 yard gains, no 9 yard gains, no 17 yard gains, no 35 yard gains. That's going to be just a huge job then. 27-20 Packers. I think they win this game and go to 8-2 on the season, move forward, and are in a better spot to kind of secure some of the things they want to secure as far as playoff seeding, making sure at least one of those playoff games is at Lambeau Field, and then just a massive, massive matchup with the 49ers on the other side of the bye week. Gilbert, thank you so much for your time. We again want to thank our sponsor, Stadium View Bar, Grill, and Banquet Hall in lovely Green Bay, Wisconsin. And we want to thank you guys for listening. We're still working on a couple different ways to get the podcast. We're out on Stitcher now. That's already happening. You can always get the show on Packer Report. The number one thing to also remember is to subscribe to the show any way you can, and wherever you find the show, then give us a 5-star review. Give us an actual verbal review. Those things help when people are searching for Packers podcasts to listen to. It'll help them find us easier, and we think we're putting forth a pretty excellent product. So we would like to get to as many ears as we possibly can. Thank you guys one last time for listening, and go Pack Go.